Kevin's at NASA today?
Good morning. It is 10 a.m. on Wednesday, February 15th, 2012. We're here at the North Dakota Public Service Commission hearing room, 12th floor of the state capitol in Bismarck. For the record, is Tony Clark, Commission Chairman, and I'm joined today here in Bismarck by Brian Kalk. And I'll let Commissioner Kalk introduce himself and then joined by phone by Commissioner Kramer.
Brian Kalk here. Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin Kramer.
All right. And I suppose we ought to just get on the record before we get going, since I'm remembering it now. Kevin, do you authorize?
I authorize Esther to sign my name to any orders, and that'd be great.
Okay, thanks. Let's move to, we do have consent items.
Move passage of consent items.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Moving to items of my portfolio, TC1, I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order issuing certificate of site compatibility number 26 to Wilton Wind 4 LLC, authorizing construction of its proposed 99-megawatt Wilton 4 Wind Energy Center in Burley County, North Dakota, case number PU-11-646.
Second.
This is a project that's going proposed to be going into an area that's seen a number of other projects. Wilton Wind 4 is proposing to construct a facility known as the Wilton 4 Wind Energy Center to be located in Burley County near the city of Wilton. The project area consists of about 24.6 square miles in Croft, Eklund, and Gillen Townships. The wind turbines would be located only in Croft and Gillen Townships. As is the case with all of our wind energy facilities, and as is the case here where we have both township and county zoning ordinances, state law provides that no energy conversion facility will be designated if it violates the county or city land use, zoning, building rules, regulation, or ordinances, in addition to those that that are promulgated through commission orders. The project has a nameplate capacity of 99 megawatts, which consists of 62 1.6 megawatt wind turbines. To give you an example of how much that is anticipated to generate, they're assuming net capacity factors of 48%, which is phenomenal for a wind facility, but is what we've have seen it here in North Dakota. The average annual output is estimated to be 416,000 megawatt hours per year, which if you consider about 1,000 kilowatt hour per month, average residential customer is enough to power close to 35,000 homes. This proposed project would connect to the Western Area Power Administration's Hilken Switching Station. The projected total cost of the project is $165 million. At this time, Wilton Wind 4 does not have a customer to purchase the power. They do believe that it is a marketable project. A representative for Wilton Wind 4 has testified that if Congress were to approve the PTC extension in 2012, they'd like to be in a position to build the Wind Energy Center in late 2012 or early 2013. Number of issues that are a little bit unique to this particular siting application, because it is being constructed in this area, and we've had some experience with it. Of course, the issue of sinkholes came up in the hearing. They are found throughout the project area, and they will be identified and avoided. With regard to cultural resources, there were a number of prehistoric stone feature sites, prehistoric rock line pits, so on and so forth. None of those are going to be impacted by the project, and the project developer will be required to gain SHPO review and concurrence before construction can begin. With regard to wetlands and wildlife, the typical sort of flora and fauna issues that come up in any of these will be dealt with appropriately, and there is, because there's an interconnection with the Western Transmission Line Environmental Impact Statement, that's needed to comply with NEPA, and that also will need to be filed before construction can begin. Say, Kevin, you may want to mute your phone. The sound and flicker studies came through and are also typical for the wind farm of this type. With regard to other mitigative measures, no turbines are placed within 1,400 feet of a residence, and in accordance with Burleigh County, no turbines are going to be placed within 1,750 feet of occupied non-participating residences in Croft Township. Croft is the one township in this area where Burleigh County controls the zoning regulations as opposed to the local zoning authority. Other than that, everything looks to be in good order.
Yeah. The only thing I would add is that Commissioner Clark already brought it up with the 48% capacity factor. I mean, that's pretty amazing. We did ask a lot of questions about if what they're modeling is actually what's turning out once they start producing energy, and it's very close. So, you know, while wind is not yet base load, 48% is a lot better than the 30-some percent that it started out at.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
TC2, I move the Commission issue a notice of filing and notice of intervention deadline in Northern States Power Company's application for advanced determination of prudence for its proposed purchase power agreement with Geronimo Wind Energy, LLC, case number PU-12-59.
Second.
The Commission received on January 31st of this year an application from XL, or NSP, for an advanced determination of a prudence for a PPA that they would like to enter for 200 megawatts of wind energy with Geronimo Wind Energy, LLC, which is a proposed project known as the Prairie Rose Wind Project. Though it's called Prairie Rose, it's not located in North Dakota. It's in Rock and Pipestone counties of Minnesota. Petition to intervene is being set by this order of or petition to intervene must be received by April 27th of 2012.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That ends the items in my portfolio. Commissioner Kolk.
Good morning. Item BK1. I move the Commission adopt the order of dismissal concerning Nodak Electric Cooperative Inc.'s complaint against Otter Tail Power Company, case number PU-11654.
Second.
On October of 2011, Nodak Electric filed a complaint with the North Dakota Commission against Otter Tail. Nodak's complaint alleged that Otter Tail was about to construct an extension of its public utility plant and system to provide electric service to the North Dakota State Water Commission's Devil's Lake East End Outland project. On February of this year, Otter Tail and Nodak filed a stipulation of dismissal of Nodak's complaint, agreeing to a full and final resolution and dismissal of all matters in the dispute. This was a case that would have been very interesting to hear, but nevertheless, the companies have stipulated to work it out themselves. But I would like to talk with my fellow colleagues in the admin section because I would like to send Otter Tail a letter just to see how this all turned out. So with that, everything else is in order.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That concludes the items in my portfolio.
Thank you. Commissioner Kramer.
Thank you. I just have one myself, KC1. I move the Commission deem the applications complete and issue a notice of filing and a notice of hearing in the request of Enbridge Pipelines North Dakota LLC for a waiver of procedures and time schedules, a corridor certificate, and a route permit for the construction of new station facilities, pumping units, tankage, and associated station piping at its existing Berthold Station in Ward County, North Dakota, case number PU-11232.
Second.
This is a project that just keeps growing, and it's a project we're all quite familiar with, as you will recall, when Enbridge decided to reverse the portal line, or the line 26, as a means of getting more Bakken crude up into the Canadian system and then across for transmission into Clearbrook, Minnesota. Enbridge expanded the station there on the east side of the railroad tracks at Berthold. This project is to expand it even further. It involves basically all the upgrades basically on a fairly small footprint, but it is a new footprint. They're purchasing 80 acres on the west side of the railroad tracks with the possibility of up to another 240 acres located northwest of the existing station site. It involves everything from some new station piping, some pumping units, the usual metering facilities and bells and pertinences, all those things. And, of course, this to help meet growing demand in the Williston Basin for crude. To transport it in other markets. This will actually grow the Enbridge capacity into Clearbrook. by a lot, by like 25,000. Initial growth was 25,000 barrels per day when we first approved the reversal of the Line 26. Well, additional capacity is needed, and this will be an additional 145,000 barrels per day that will be accommodated by this upgrade. So it involves, 5,000 feet of some 16-inch station piping in the first phase, then another 4,000 feet of 8-inch station piping in the second stage, as I said earlier, the pumping units and all the appurtenances. The anticipated schedule for it is hopefully they could begin construction, first quarter of this year or early second quarter, and be in operation full service by second quarter of 2013, first phase probably by the end of this year. I know we always like to know how much it's going to cost, so they estimates the cost of the first told station to be $102.5 million. Oh, by the way, just the notice is for, of course, a hearing. The hearing is scheduled to begin at 10 a.m. on April 3rd. Sportsman's Club. We've also become pretty familiar with how difficult it is to find a place for a meeting in Berthold, but we're grateful for the Sportsman's Club, which will serve us very well.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. And that ends the items on the regular agenda. As always, future meetings are noticed in the agenda. If there's nothing else, we'll now take questions. Dave Thompson is here.
Yes.
Okay.
Just talking about Wilton Wind 4, mm-hmm. You said it was 62 turbines? Was that
62 turbines, that is correct.
Do you know offhand how many turbines that would make in that region?
Oh, we can find it out on relatively short notice, yeah. but off the top of my head, no. We can get it to you, though.
Now, Wilton Wind 4 is the company or is a division of what company?
It's an Xterra project.
Oh, Xterra. Okay.
Yep.
And they don't have a customer just yet, but they're going to put the power into the WAPA system.
Well, they probably will not begin constructing until they have a sense for whether they'll have a buyer or not. At least that's what the sense was that we got at the hearing. But that would be the intended market for it, would be to tap into that WAPA line.
And 48% efficiency, what's the average efficiency?
Oh, gosh, I don't know what the average is in North Dakota, but when you get close to 50%, that's considered phenomenal within the wind industry. If you go in other regions of the country, they feel great if they can get 30%. If you go in wind-poor parts of the country, it's less than that. The reason that figure is so important is that the amount of power that's put out is not a direct line. In other words, as the power increases, as capacity factors, or as wind speed increases, as capacity factors increase, the amount of actual power that you get out is more like a J-shaped curve, and you get much more power out of fairly small incremental increases in wind speed. So that's why the economics of wind are just so much better in a place like North Dakota than they are in so many other parts of the country. Well, 48 may not sound like a lot more than, say, 30 as far as the amount of power that it gets out. It's quite a bit.
Commissioner Kolk, on NODAC versus Otter Tail, is NODAC going to be the provider then for the pump?
We don't know.
We don't know yet.
That's my question, I guess, afterwards, is that this complaint was basically filed by NODAC, and so they requested to pull it back, and Otter Tail agreed. So that's what this motion is today, to just stop that. But I do have a follow-on question that we'll ask under a different route, just who's actually going to serve them, because there could be a scenario where the commission then opens up our own investigation, if you will, to serve them. But I guess my questions are, let's see who's going to serve them, and let's see if it ties back to an investor-owned. But right now, this was just to kind of close up this first part of it.
I had this wonderful question and went zoom, so I think I'm out.
You know, okay. One of the things I might
we
say...
We can make up our own.
While I have a little everybody's attention, I'm in Tioga this morning, just arrived here a short time ago for, of course, festivities surrounding a visit by a presidential candidate, but we were learned upon arriving here that late last night, or sometime last night, there was a tragic accident up here where car of teenagers went head-on into a semi, and one life was lost, and two are in the hospital, and it's a stark reminder of what's going on out here and the reality of the situation, and that we just need to keep people in our prayers as well as keep our eye on the ball in terms of building the infrastructure that creates a safer situation.
Kevin, did you drive it by yourself?
I didn't. Gary Emneth is with me.
Okay. Did you at all, were you at any time scared when you were on the road?
No.
I'm just curious. Because I've been scared on that road, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You know, I feel daylight and dark are two different things. I think that's a big part of it. But at any rate, it's a very scary situation. We're still dealing, I think, in many respects with a culture that's not accustomed to this level of traffic, and we're dealing with another culture that's not probably quite as accustomed to the type of terrain and whatnot that we deal with out here. So it's the best word I can give it, I think, is just reality. You hit something like this and it's real, and we're going to be at the school later on today, and I suspect that the tone of things changes as a result of what happened last night. That's probably appropriate.
Okay. If there are no other questions, we will. Why don't we do this, Kevin? Does it work best if we just move right to admin and then do signing?
Yeah, that would be fine, Tony. Okay. Yeah, why don't we?